Today's gospel reading comes from the gospel according to Mark, chapter 6, starting in verse 30. Mark 6, 30, going through verse 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks this day for feeding such a huge crowd. We pray, Lord, that you would feed our souls as well, our bodies and our souls, as we reflect on your word, which is life for us. Help us, Lord, to digest it well. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something today that I don't normally do, and it's a little risky on my part because it's kind of warm in here and it's a nice sunny day, and if I ask you to do this, you might just fall asleep. But I have 4 questions to ask of you, and I want it to be kind of anonymous in your responding, so you don't feel obligated to answer one way or the other, or ashamed or whatever. So if you would, close your eyes. See, that's the dangerous part. Don't go to sleep. You know, stay with me here. Just a quick show of hands. For how many of you is this story new? You have not heard this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 before. It's all right to raise your hand if you. Okay. For how many of you is this a story that you have heard your entire life, or, you know, as long as you can remember? This is just one of those good old stories that you know backwards and forwards. Okay, very good. For how many of you is this a story that is believable? You believe that this happened the way it was told. It's not that hard to wrestle with. Okay. For how many of you is this an unbelievable story that Jesus would take such a small amount of food and make it multiply into something really huge? Okay, thank you. Well, you can open your eyes now. Hopefully I didn't put you to sleep. That was interesting for me. Okay. Most of you are all thinking the same kinds of things. I should do that more often. Wow, that really told me a lot. Okay, fair enough. I think this is a challenging story for a lot of different reasons. One of them is that for many of us, this is such a familiar story. Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's so familiar that we almost lose track of what it's about. We hear it so often. Did you know, this is a fun Bible fact for the day, this is the only miracle that Jesus performed other than being raised from the dead on Easter Sunday. This is the only miracle that Jesus performed that is recorded in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the only one that all four Gospels report on. It must have been pretty important. It must have been pretty verifiable. And because it's in all the Gospels, we read it every time we read any one of the Gospels, and we hear it in all of our Sunday school lessons, and so we hear it over and over and over again. And like any sound that is repeated repeatedly over and over and over again, it can become background noise. I think that's what becomes sort of challenging about this story, Jesus feeding the 5,000. We hear it so often. Another part of it, if maybe we think about it too much, is that this seems kind of strange. I mean, we have to face the reality of what this story says happened, and how an unbelieving world will look at this and say, this just doesn't make much sense. Okay, so Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread, right? Now, this is not your normal Kroger loaf of bread. This is not divided up into lots of different slices. This is probably like a flat pita bread. That's what we're thinking about when we're thinking about loaves of bread in Jesus' day. And they would feed one person each. That would basically be one serving per loaf. 5 of those. And a couple of fish. Probably not, you know, how big was the fish that you caught. It was probably just about the same size, a serving. So we've got not enough food even to feed the 12 disciples. And Jesus manages to feed 5,000 people with that. Now, many of us were at the Loons game last Thursday night. Remember? Faith night at the ballpark. They called it fellowship night, whatever. But lots of different church groups and other organizations were there. And it was great. We had a wonderful time. Like I said before, we should have fun more often. It was just fun to be together. It was a good time. You remember the count of people, the attendance that they named? What was it? Do you remember the number exactly? 50, I think it was 5,012. I remember 12, and I remember it was just over 5,000, because if our church group hadn't been there, it would have been under 5,000. See, so we get to have some. Of course, if any other church group wasn't there, it would have been under 5,000 too. But 5,012. Now, I don't normally pay attention to numbers, but if you think about what's going on here in this story in the gospel, here I am preparing for this moment with you all, thinking Jesus feeding the 5,000 and he's got his 12 disciples there. Whoa, it's just kind of just a little eerie. I mean, here's the number on the screen. The number of people at the ballpark was 5,012. Annie, you have a question? Yes? Okay. What about the families? Mark doesn't say anything about the families. In Matthew's gospel, it says he fed 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children. That's where that thought comes from. It was a lot of people. Okay, I don't think it'll do us much good to wonder, was it 5,000 or 10,000 or maybe, you know, 13,500? Who knows how many people? It was just a lot. A lot of folks. A ballpark full of people. Can you imagine? Those of you who were at the ballpark on Thursday night, and others, if you've been to a Loons game and seen the stands packed, I mean, the place was full. Have you ever seen a crowd of 5,000 people? This is a lot of mouths to feed. 5 loaves, 2 fish. That doesn't make any sense. Do you follow me? That doesn't seem reasonable. This is a hard story. Because we've heard it for so long, many of us, and because we've just believed it for so long, many of us. It's a hard story. We understand it, we believe, well, we don't really understand it, but we believe it, we understand that it's true, but we sure don't know how it happened. This is one of those stories that might turn people away from Christian faith. You believe that Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes? I mean, that's just kind of weird. Today I'd like to focus our thoughts on a specific trajectory, the path that we've gone in the past several weeks, which is to think about spiritual giftedness. And to look at this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 as an illustration of, or a question about, how we use our spiritual gifts. Now, for the past several weeks, we've been focusing in on how we use spiritual giftedness for the sake of the kingdom of God. How we participate in the work of God through the giftedness that God has given us. And very intentionally, I have not gone down the road of saying, this is a gift, that's a gift, this is a gift, you can have that gift and the other. We've not gone down that road here in this setting. I've done that on purpose. We're going to do that tonight. At 6 o'clock tonight, we'll gather in the fellowship hall. hopefully it won't be 110 degrees in there. And we'll do a workshop on spiritual giftedness. I hope you all decide to come, because it'll be a good time for us to learn about how God has equipped us for ministry in this particular place in the kingdom of God. Knowing our gifts helps us to accomplish the kingdom of God work that He has called us to do as part of this church. Knowing who we are and how we have been made up allows us to engage in the two big things that the church is called to do, which is to be in discipleship, to grow closer to Jesus, and to spread the word about Jesus and His love and mercy to people around us. I think I'm kind of toying with this idea. I was up late last night writing about all this. I'm trying to process everything. What's the church really called to do? Us or, you know, Christians in general? I think it boils down to two things. Discipleship and reaching out to a community that's in need. And there's lots that goes into those two things. But I think maybe I'll stick with that for a while. So knowing our gifts will help us along that journey. Now, becoming like Jesus and reaching out to a community that's in need, those might sound like really big tasks. I mean, who can really become like Jesus anyway? We can never really become perfectly like Jesus. That's our goal in discipleship, to take on His character, to think like He thinks, to act like He thinks, to act like He acts. Who can really ever do that? Who can really ever reach out to an entire community? Now, we live in a community here that houses several thousands of people in just our county. Who could ever reach out to all the needs and all the issues that people face? We can barely keep track of our own. How are we supposed to reach out to a community that's in need with the love of Christ, in the name of Christ? How are we supposed to do all that? It seems like an impossible task. It seems maybe even as hard as feeding 5,000 people with, or more, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's just not going to make sense. It's just not going to happen. We have something in common with these disciples, you see, from Mark 6. The task is too big, and our resources are too small in number. Remember what these disciples have been through recently. Even in this one chapter, Mark 6, in the span of one chapter, they have done a lot of stuff. Jesus has sent them out on mission. He's called them apostles, people who are sent out. He has sent them out to the neighboring towns and villages to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. And they have anointed people, and they have healed people. Well, God has healed people through them. And they have proclaimed the word of the God. They have driven out demons from people who were possessed. They've taught many things about God's kingdom. And they've come back to report to Jesus, look at all we've done. They must have been pretty proud of what they had accomplished through God's help, in a good sense. Look at what we've done. You've sent us out on mission. This has been successful. It's been a good time. Jesus invites them to withdraw from the world and rest. We need that. We need that. We need to hear that it's okay to withdraw from the world and rest every now and again. But then, just when they had started to rest, the crowd shows up again. You know what that feels like? I imagine those of you who have raised kids know what this feels like. Just when you get to rest a little bit, just when you put your feet up for the evening, here comes trouble. Well, you can name trouble however you want to name it. But here comes the crowd. The disciples get to the other side of the lake, and the crowd has run all the way around the lake and caught up to them because they want more. You notice what Jesus did? What He did with the disciples was not to say, you guys just sit back and relax, I'll handle it this time. He didn't say that. He could have done that, but He didn't say that. He said, you give them something to eat. You do the work. Jesus, we've just been on mission all this time, and we really could use a break. You do the work. You give them something to eat. The crowd arrives, and Jesus invites His disciples to serve. You want us to give them something to eat? This is a full Dow Diamond Stadium of people. How are we, 12 people, ever going to give all these folks something to eat? The task is too big. The project is too massive. And then Jesus asks a question that has haunted me this week. It's really stuck with me, and I'm I keep coming back to it. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Do you mean, Jesus, that we're not supposed to spend our money and buy food, but we're supposed to give the food that we've already got? I mean, we just told you it would take 8 months of a person's salary to buy as much food. Do you think we carried that with us? 5,000, I'm estimating, 5,000 people here, there are 12 of us. If I do the division right, that's like over 400 loaves of bread we're each supposed to have on us in order to feed everybody who's here. What did you expect, Jesus? How many loaves do you have? What difference is a few loaves going to make? Oh, and we found a couple of fish too. What difference are 5 loaves and 2 fish going to make in a problem that's as big as 5,000 stomachs growling? We can't possibly make a difference. Are you suggesting that we weren't prepared for this? Are you suggesting that we weren't ready for the crowd that came? Now, Jesus, hang on just a second. You were the one who told us just before we went around to all these towns and villages, you were the one who told us not to take any food with us, not to take an extra bag, not to take any money, not to even take an extra shirt, but just go and rely on the hospitality of the people that we'd meet. Why do you think it's our responsibility now to feed these people? Who do you think you are to ask us how many loaves we have? How many loaves do you have? When I hear Jesus ask this question, when I think about what Jesus' tone of voice must have been like when he asked this, I don't hear any note of criticism. I don't hear any doubt in his voice. I don't hear any hesitation in his voice. I don't hear any remark on his part that this won't be enough food. Jesus simply asks his disciples to dedicate what they have completely to the task at hand. And somehow, in miraculous fashion, and if you want to know my mathematical idea about how this might have happened, you can ask me later. It's really cool, but it doesn't have anything to do with Scripture, so we'll leave it out. In miraculous fashion, however it took place, Jesus multiplies these 5 loaves and 2 fish so that 5,000 plus stomachs are full. They each eat their fill, and every one of the 12 disciples gets to take a basket full of leftovers home afterwards. Wow. I don't know how that happened, folks. I really don't. I have an idea, but I really don't think it happened that way. I have an idea, but it doesn't matter. I don't know how it happened, and that's what makes it a miracle. I couldn't do it myself. That's what makes it a miracle. Jesus fed these 5,000 people with such a small amount of food because the disciples had committed everything they had to the task that Jesus had laid before them. When the disciples' resources were devoted to the Lord, God accomplished what he intended in his kingdom. That's the message for us. When the disciples devoted everything they had to the Lord, God accomplished what he intended to accomplish in his kingdom. You see, the problem with us as people, our human nature, is to say that we focus in on a lack of resources. We don't have enough to do this. Anybody ever said that? You know, this week? We just don't have enough time or money or energy to do anything that comes to mind. I think I've even said that this week. I don't have the energy to get outside and weed the garden again. I don't have any energy to go out and do it. I don't want to do that. Well, you got to do what you got to do. There's always a lack of time. There's always a lack of energy. There's always especially a lack of money. And that's our human wiring speaking. That's how we're wired as human beings. We focus on the smallness of the resources and the bigness of the problem. And we don't naturally devote everything to God. The disciples were called on by Jesus to give everything that they had, the loaves and fish, to him for his purposes. and they chose to do it. It wasn't natural for them to do it. Their reactions were very much like what ours might have been. This isn't going to do any good anyway. There's not enough to go around. Do you see how big this problem is? What am I going to eat? This was supposed to be my lunch. Those kinds of things. The disciples are wired just like we are, but they chose to give everything they had for the work of the kingdom. I think whether this is a familiar story to you or not, whether this is a believable story for you or not, the message of this passage is to say that Jesus meets the needs of the crowd and he meets the need of the disciples. He meets all needs. He meets the needs of the crowd, obviously, by filling their stomachs with food. They needed something to eat. He also meets their needs by teaching them about the kingdom of God. See, there are physical needs and there are spiritual needs, both, that everyone has. But he also meets the needs of the disciples. The disciples had been out working in the field, in the harvest field, the spiritual field, doing the work of the kingdom of God, and they had come home now. They've come home to report on what they had done, and Jesus invites them to rest. That's something they need. But they also need to continue in service. Rest is temporary. Rest is not full-time. Rest is catch your breath so that you can go back out and continue doing the work. There's no retiring from being a follower of Christ, after all. This is something that we do for our entire lives. Jesus meets the needs of the disciples. He meets the need of the crowd. And when he sees the crowd, there's a reaction that Jesus has. Did you catch this? When Jesus sees the crowd as they arrive on the other side of the lake, Mark records it this way. He has compassion on them. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful description. It's one of my favorite Greek words. Nancy, you'll appreciate this. Here it comes. Splanknizomai. Do you remember it? The splunk kind of a word. It's a funny sounding word. That's why it's fun to say. But splanknizomai. Splanknizomai means to have compassion. A gut level reaction. Something visceral inside you that says, I've got to do something about this. I've got to help. I ache for them. We say things like, my heart goes out to so-and-so. Think of that in more literal of a sense. My heart goes out to them. In a real, authentic sense, I've got to act on their behalf. That's what Jesus feels for these people, the crowd and for his disciples. He functions in this story as the perfect shepherd. The shepherd for the people who otherwise would have no sheep. And in this way, he fulfills the passage of scripture that Nancy read for us a few minutes ago from Numbers 27. Moses, the leader of the Israelites, is about to die, and he needs to know that the Lord will have another leader for the Israelites so that they will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And he calls on God to provide one, and God says, I've already been raising him up. He's the one who's been with you all along. His name is Joshua. He will be the one who will take your place, who will hold the reins for the people of Israel through his life. He will lead the people into the promised land. Joshua, this boy who had been a spy into the Canaan, the promised land, as a youngster, has now wandered through the wilderness these 40 years and gets to take the people into the promised land. Joshua, his name means Yahweh saves. Jehovah, Yahweh, the name of God, saves. Yahweh saves. Yeshua in Hebrew. When you translate that into Greek, it's Jesus, and in English we pronounce that name Jesus. Joshua and Jesus have the same name. Yahweh saves. God saves. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of this request for a shepherd for the people of God. He is the one who will lead and provide all the needs for the people who call him Lord. It's not a selfish set of needs that he provides, though. It's not just food in their stomachs. It's a message about the kingdom of God that must necessarily be shared. It's a call to mission as well as a call for wholeness. He meets their needs and gives them a purpose. He says to the disciples, feed the crowd of people. How many loaves do you have? Go and see. Give them to me. You see, our work as a church family, which is to grow closer to Christ and to reach out to our community in his name. Our work as a church family is bigger than we can handle. And as individuals, many of us may feel like we don't have much to offer. It wouldn't make much of a difference anyway. The temptation, like always, is to focus on a lack of resources. But the call of the gospel is simply to devote all that we have to the work of God's kingdom. Our resources, like the disciples' resources, when they are devoted to the Lord, will accomplish what God intends in His kingdom. So I have one question for you today. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? It's not a question of counting. Oh, look, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. It's not an ego trip. I appreciated the song that Geraldine and Linda sang last week. The opening line was, it's not an ego trip that we're on. Tonight when we gather to do this spiritual gifts workshop and take a survey and find out all about how God has gifted each of us for the work of the kingdom here, it's not about making us look good. It's not about building up pride. It's not about saying how good we are. It's about full dedication of ourselves to the work of the kingdom. It's not about a false sense of humility that says, well, I really don't have anything to offer. I'm really not that important here. I'll take this little survey, but you know, I'm not going to put too much stock in what it says. That's a false kind of humility. The disciples could have said that about the loaves and fishes that they had. In fact, I think they may have. We've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Whatever that's good for. It's not about that. Because Jesus can do whatever He wants with whatever we provide. 5,000 people get fed with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's about allowing Christ to do what He will with the gifts that we bring to the table. It's about making ourselves available for ministry and watching for the Lord to surprise us with the results. Discovering our spiritual gifts isn't about therapeutic self-help, making us feel better about ourselves. The disciples aren't made to feel good about themselves in this story. They're not made to feel good about giving such a huge offering to Jesus. 5 loaves and 2 fish is pretty measly. They're not made to feel good about even the work they had done, the mission work they had done earlier in the towns and villages around, about all the stuff they had done that needed rest afterwards. They're not made to feel good about all that. They're simply called to discover and count and present the loaves that they have in their possession. The emphasis is on the task that lies at hand: caring for the hungry, spreading the word of God, taking on the character of Christ. So friends, allow this simple yet challenging story to form your thoughts about your own spiritual giftedness and how you are serving Christ here as part of the work of this church. 5 loaves and 2 fish can go a really long way, but they've got to be given over to the Lord. How many loaves do you have? Let's give them to the Lord and watch and see what He will do with them. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come before You grateful for Your presence, grateful for the many gifts that You have given us, not the least of which is this scripture which informs our lives. Lord, as we reflect on these amazing words of how You fed a multitude with such a small offering, Lord, we pray that you would reassure us that our gifts are worth something too, and that our offerings made to You will be useful for Your kingdom because You put them to use. Help us, Lord, to be active in serving You here. Help us, Lord, to rest when appropriate, but to jump right back in to the fray when You ask us, how many loaves do You have to meet this need? Teach us, Lord, what it means to follow You, and help us, Lord, to put You first above all things, so that You might be glorified through our growing closer to You and through other people coming to know who You are because of our service in Your kingdom. We pray these things in the strong name of Christ our Lord. Amen.